Good.
Reef.
Galler.
Hello, episode 2 of our podcasting mini-series.
That was so clean.
It was very clean.
It was real clean.
It's not getting any better.
It's like you doing laundry.
That's peak good grief Galler right there. GG, peak GGG. We got a lot of feedback from the first episode. It sounds like you guys really liked it, so I'm glad because I thought it was too long, but Yeah, we got a lot of feedback in the last couple hours on both Twitter and on Twitch and on Slack that people really liked the episode. So This is episode 2. If you missed episode 1, this is a mini series. If you're new here, hello. I'm your host, SBJ. With me is Micah.
Hello.
And Irene.
Hi.
And we are here to talk about our journeys through Galler. And oh boy, this is more game than I expected last
year. You said, oh boy, when you could have said good grief.
Oh, dang, I dropped good grief. This is a heck of a game. So this is our game plan.
Golly G.
Just because we don't want anyone to spoil, I do try to keep the episode descriptions a little generalized, but obviously if you read, it wouldn't be a good episode description if you didn't know what we were talking about. But in this specific episode, we will be talking until the end of the first gym. Now, you might say, well, you talked about a bunch of stuff yesterday, and you didn't talk about the gym. What happened between that and this gym that we're dedicating a whole episode? A whole lot. The game introduces a lot of features and a lot of things to do. So we're going to go through a couple of those things. We have a little list of bullet points we want to hit. So we might skip a couple story beats per se, but we'll come back. Obviously, characters have motives, and we can always address those in future episodes if we miss a couple. Before we get in, just a heads up, if you are listening to this podcast before November 20th, 2019, there's a Nintendo Switch Lite giveaway for a Zamazenta Zacian Nintendo Switch Lite that you can find in the podcast description. Totally free to enter. If you want, it's basic stuff, you know, follow on Twitter, follow on Instagram, you get bonus points entering. If for some reason you're listening to this in 2021, that giveaway
2021?
Look, some people still listen to the Alola stuff. So
really?
Just a heads up. Yeah, I get feedback all the time that they really wanted the playthrough of Alola. So if you're listening in 2021, I'm sorry, that giveaway is over. But
you missed your chance.
Maybe there'll be like a Switch Pro by then or something.
Or maybe you won, but you never listened to the podcast.
Oh.
And now you're listening.
And now you're really bitter that you never redeemed it.
It's just sitting on the shelf collecting dust.
Okay, so let's get into things. Before we even really talk about the game, I think at this point, before we get to the gym, let's just knock this out, get this out of the way. I think at this point, everyone's starter would have evolved. We'll start with Irene, who picked Score Bunny. What did your Pokemon evolve into?
Ravut. I didn't look at very many spoilers, if at all. Like, I really didn't. Steve would be really excited, and he would kind of be vague because I told him that I didn't want to know anything. So he was like, there's this thing, and it's cool! And but anyway, I'm really, really excited. My reboot looks like Shino from Naruto. And it also, I feel like it's going to the gym. She's going to the gym all the time. But yeah, no, it's super exciting. I was just like, working on my fitness with my gal.
Your ring fit.
Yeah, ring fit.
Reboot has like a built-in hoodie.
Yeah.
It's very
cute.
It's
like a face mask.
It's Shino from Naruto.
Micah, your Sobble evolved?
It did. Into Drizzile.
I think
is how you say it.
It's like,
is that the emo lord?
Drizzile.
Yeah, he looks a little emo.
Yes.
Yeah. He's the dark tricks of this generation.
Went from a sad boy to an angsty boy.
Pete Wentz.
As we all do in high school.
As you grow up, yeah. Correct. The color palette is really great. It's like blue and like neon green and purple, which is really, really neat. It's a good color palette. I think part of me is really obsessed with Sobble's design and pretty much all of the starters' designs, that seeing any of their evolutions after the fact, I'm just like, I don't want them to grow up. They're so cute.
I think that this is the strongest round of middle evos, though.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, who's being like, Oh, man, I really liked Koalava. I'm sorry to the three people out there that love Koala. Like, fire weasel.
Because Bayleaf was real good.
Ooh, Combusken's bad.
Okay.
Next you're going to tell me Grodle was good.
I don't even know what that is. Grodle? Is that the turtle?
This is the Turtwig evolution.
Yeah, whatever.
Torterra's sweet, but Grodle is like, oh boy.
I get the like portmanteau for Grodle, like grow and turtle, but man, that's a gross sounding name. Grodle.
Ew.
I had to go to the doctor for my Grodle.
Jeez. I had to get my Grodle installed.
I would say that Thwacky, the evolution of Grookey, it's a good mouthfeel. It's like saying Popplio.
What are you saying? Okay, what is it called?
Like when it's
I know what mouthfeel means.
No, mouthfeel applies to eating.
Yeah, but when mouthfeel as in like, I want the listener to just say poiple out loud. And it feels real good exiting your mouth. Poiple.
Sure.
Popplio again feels great leaving your mouth. So does Thwacky.
What Thwacky is this?
Thwacky's not bad.
Thwacky feeling real good leaving that mouth. Although it's a little lanky. It's a little long. I would say I do like it. I like all the starters. I like all the middle
what do you
evolutions.
Mean long? Like long as in
he's like a long boy. Because you know how
I don't know how
Yamper has like a little thick, little junk in the trunk, some would say. Thwacky has no junk in the trunk. Some would argue he doesn't have any junks. He's just a real tall, slim boy, a little lanky.
I was sitting on the couch watching Becky play on the TV, and she picked Grookey because she is enamored with Grookey. Thinks it's the cutest Pokemon ever. Not the cutest Pokemon ever, but she thinks it's real cute. And I watched it evolve, and I watched her face as it evolved into Thwacky, and she made kind of a frowny face.
Oh, no, that's all.
And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "It's okay."
Oh man,
I do think though I can't speak for Sobble's and Scorbunny's evolutions as much, but. At least with Thwacky, it does have that very upbeat music feel that Grookey really captures.
Yeah.
And so it does 100% catch that, or keep that, I guess, that very upbeat, ready to go playing the music. It retains its personality very well, even though it maybe not as cute as before.
I have no clue what it looks like. I guess I'll find out the next time I battle Hop.
I think the progression from Sobble to Drizzile makes sense. It's a sad little scared Pokemon that evolves into a also kind of sad and little bit more angry Pokemon. Personality wise, it makes sense, but it's not a bad evolution. I think I just had so much love for these three starter Pokemon that. It's really hard. It's like a harsh jump from how cute they are as starters, like really adorable, to what they are in their second evolutions.
Awkward adolescence.
Yeah.
They definitely do feel all like we went from elementary school together to high school together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all going through these
have
phases.
That feel, yeah.
Absolutely. I don't even know what's it called? Thwacky?
Thwacky.
Thwacky.
I think I heard that they're supposed to represent theater, music, and sports. So
yeah.
Sobble's the theater, Grookey's the musical person in the school, and then Square Bunny's the jock, the athletic one in the school.
Let's go to the gym.
So, which I think that theme makes sense. I don't know if that was like a fan theory or if that was, you know, something that did come from Game Freak. But if you go back to X and Y, they had a very D&D feel. You have your, because Chestnut was the big tank, and then Delphox was the mage, and then
your warrior, your mage, and your artist.
Oh no, sorry, that's ninja.
What?
Greninja. My bad.
Like stealth, like rogue.
Yeah, like a rogue.
Oakley doke.
Okay.
Anyway, Reboot is the best one. So
Reboot is very. I mean, I'm a sucker for a hoodie, and dude evolved into one.
Shocking. She evolved into the best
Okay. Let's, before we go back to the wild area, because I think there's a lot to say, we're going to actually jump ahead here. When you kind of, so a little bit of lore here that's pretty interesting with the stadiums and stuff. I'll just kind of explain this real quick. Well, we might address it more in a future episode. But you meet Professor Magnolia, and Leon is there, and she brings up that the fact that these boys, you and Hop, or I guess, you know, if you pick a female character, are on this Pokemon journey because Leon gave them Pokemon, and yet they're not endorsed to do the gym challenge. And Leon seems very hesitant to endorse them, even though Leon was the one that gives you your starter Pokemon. And Magnolia convinces Leon to endorse you, which is a little bit of lore of the game, of that you cannot even do the 8 gyms unless you are endorsed by somebody. And the gyms are not running, you know, 24/7. It's not like Brock is always waiting at the gym for a challenger. This game, and I didn't mention this last episode, it really feels like how old games feel like sporting events. This feels like a sporting event, but this also feels like the Olympics. Like, this is more important and bigger than other sporting events. And so I feel like Galar really captures the feel of the Olympics. While you could argue that that's still sports, no one's arguing it's definitely still sports, but it has a bigger feel. So you can't challenge the gym 24/7 lore wise. At least that's what I took away from it.
It's like a tournament, like a cup. What's a soccer tournament?
I definitely agree with the sportsy element. Absolutely, especially during the gym battle when I had it. But I was also when we first walked into Midoriya, Izuku, who was our grass gym leader. It seemed like, okay, I'm also living my everyday regular life, and this is also something that I do, but it, not that it's not as important, but it seemed like there was more dimension to these characters besides, oh, I'm the gym leader. That's me.
Yeah. so the reason I bring up that lore is because when we get to the when Leon approves that he's going to co-sign on Hop and your character.
Co-sign on that loan.
and we go through the wild area, we do all that, we'll circle back to that in a second. But when we get to Modostoke, is that what the city's called?
Modostoke, correct.
When we get to Modostoke, there's not much to do there, although we could go on about changing our hair and dressing up. But Leon is there, and Leon introduces us. You get co-signed for the gym challenge, and maybe the only game that really does this, and not even really comes close, I guess Black and White kind of does this at the end, but Black and White's like, hey, check out all these gym leaders. They work together. They're next to each other. They acknowledge each other.
Wow, they exist
They exist as like a group of people that have this organization. they hit you right up front with that in Sword and Shield, where that part of the game where you walk into the stadium and you sign up and you pick your jersey number and you see the other people that have been accepted into the gym challenge. So yourself, Hop, we meet Bede, and then we meet Marnie.
Is that how you say it? Bede?
So just
Beedy?
Beedy,
a lot of people really curious if they are male or female.
It doesn't matter.
I just wrote they in all my notes.
Their name in Italian is Travis. Their Japanese.
Betty?
Yes.
How do pronounce it?
What?
Their Japanese name is Beet. Beet.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Beet, like the fruit.
Like the fruit, exactly.
Beets are fruit, right?
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember their Spanish name, but it is also a very... No, look, there's probably a couple girls out there named Travis. I'm sure that exists. Travis is more of a masculine name. I can't remember the Spanish name off the top of my head. Also masculine. So I think it's Bede. It might be BD, but because the Japanese name is Beat, I think it's supposed to be one syllable. So I think it's Bede. I don't know. I guess we'll wait to the anime for... how to say that. I mean, we were the same crew saying Guzma wrong. I think we all said Guzma, but because it was based on a flower called Guzmania,
yeah.
And the anime confirmed it's Guzma.
Mm. Excuse me, it's Guzma, whichever one is the wrong one, it's that one.
Okay, so Guzma. Okay. Also, you know, I think people till this day still say Gladion wrong. I think a lot of people say Gladion, but it's Gladion.
I still say
pronounce it. Look, I'm not here to correct
pronunciation
anyone.
Pronunciation is great.
So we meet Bede.
This is very short. I Googled how to pronounce Bede, and I found a YouTube video with 638 views. That's a pronunciation of how to say it, and there's one comment, and it says, "I'm just gonna admit it. I'm here because of Pokemon." They say Bede in this pronunciation. Bede. I don't know what that word is otherwise, though. So
they say Bede. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, YouTube can't be wrong.
YouTube's never been wrong before.
So Bede and Marnie, we don't know as of this point who is championing Marnie. Like, we don't know who endorsed her. That's a better word. Sorry. We don't know who endorsed her. We do know Chairman Rose endorsed Bede. You guys asked for it for years. I want a jerk rival. Holy cow, this dude instantly accomplishes it. And can I say, before we talk about Bede, Hop, look, I know there might be some animations copied and pasted from how onto Hop,
yep.
But how would a greeted Bede with a malasada and a handshake and a smile? Hop was like, this dude's a tool as he walked past you. There's a very stark difference between these two characters, because how would have never done that?
Maybe he's just having a bad day.
I would have had a 12-pack of malasadas ready for Bede.
Hop's too ready to
I mean,
care
also, they're
about
in Europe,
him,
though.
His own self. Yeah. He's got too much to do. He doesn't have time to greet anyone.
He's
gotta hop his way out of there.
The more I play this game, Hop is a really good rival. He has so much character. Like, looking back at how it was great that how was like super positive and really excited, didn't care about losing, really liked to eat, but that's all you could say about how. Like, yeah. The dude liked to eat, the dude was super happy, not super salty if he lost. But that was it. That's where it stopped. Hop is like,
when Hop was like, hey, hop to it, you're walking too slow. I was like, what is this, real life? Like, I was very affronted. But yeah.
Hop is like,
hop to it.
I like this person. I don't like this person. This is my brother. I'm doing this. I was like, all right, Hop. You got it, man. I also think that dude's a tool, but jeez. I didn't think your character was actually going to say it.
They were very rude. Extremely rude. I think the phrase they used was, it's criminal for you to waste my time like this.
Oh, gosh. I am very really curious good. If he's going to come off as, like, the rudest one out of all of them, because...
Who cares?
Say, oh, look, I had prick. Prick is what I used.
Who cares about Bede, though, when we
have Ball Guy? Ball Guy? All right.
Ball Guy?
So,
is my favorite Pokemon NPC of all time.
Tell me about Ball Guy.
Ball Guy is a man in a Pokeball head costume, and that's it. And he gives you a Pokeball when he sees you and says, I'm Ball Guy.
I was like, I'm unimpressed. Leon gave me more Pokeballs than this, and that's Ball Guy. What is this?
I love Ball Guy a whole lot.
He's a little slow to start that friendship.
He's a little hesitant.
Do we want to talk about Marnie real quick? We don't get a lot of Marnie before the first gym. Team Yell is our Team Skull or Team Aqua or Team Flare of this game. Although I think we're all confident that they're going to pull another Team Skull where they're going to reveal they're not actually the bad guys. They do seem like troublemakers. I guess they're supposed to represent very rowdy sports fans. They have the Vuvuzela and stuff.
What was it?
The Vuvuzela? Is that not what it's called?
I think it's Vuvuzela.
Oh, okay. My bad. Irene's just looking at me. I was expecting her to correct
me. I'm listening.
Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela.
You're like combined Venezuela. Venezuela into one thing.
Marnie is, at least the impression I get from her is she is completely aware that these people embarrass her.
Yes.
But she is way too polite, even though she comes off. Like, when you look at her, you think, at least appearance-wise, oh, like, you're a punk rock kind of girl. But her attitude doesn't really express that. She seems very overly polite. But that was my impression.
All I remember is that her hairline bothered me. I wrote down Marnie, and right now the only thing I remember... I see someone, I look at their edges. That's how my brain works.
I've never seen a subreddit go from 0 to 100 when they hit Nessa. Boy, Nessa was like the sweetheart.
Wait, for real?
In seconds.
Wait,
it
really?
It was impressive.
The melanin too?
Nessa was everyone head over heels for Nessa. But when they showed Marnie.
Wow.
Nessa got knocked off.
Oh,
her.
Well, that, I mean, that's okay. Well, then there's the point.
But Nessa had a good run. She had like a month to herself.
Yeah.
Nessa,
I think it's just, you know, it was the same thing with Sonya, too. The second they showed, it was Sonya, and then they showed Nessa, and Sonya was out. And then they showed Marnie, and then Nessa was out.
Wait till those
you know
people
who has
see
better
Opal.
Edges?
They're going to go. Out of control.
Yeah, speaking, cute headwear.
Speaking of Opal, we get introduced to 7 of the 8 gym leaders.
Yes,
off
it's true.
The bat.
My one thing is what I wrote down. Nessa's my girl, and then I Kabu, whatever.
Yeah, Kabu. Yeah.
Yeah, is he related to from Alola?
Nanu.
Yeah, like they looked similar. Like I was curious about that. Mm, that was immediately what I thought of. Their character design, I made an association with them.
Kabu, they said he was from Hoenn.
Mm. Oh, so I was going to say Kabu looked very Japanese compared to all the other ones. But if he's from Hoenn, Hoenn is in Japan, so that would make sense. Yeah, I don't know. Opal, though, boy, she got that. She nailed that British look. Now, you guys had 2 different gym leaders.
Random thing about Magnolia when she was like, there are more important things to worry about like types of tea. And I was like, oh my gosh.
You guys had 2 different gym leaders than I did playing S.H.I.E.L.D.
What?
You guys had B,
which is the other one?
Fighting type. And I believe you guys have a guy.
I wrote these down.
Okay.
I'll read mine. You can tell me which ones are not. Milo is the grass. I think the first 3 are the same for all of them. Grass, water, fire is Milo, Nessa, and Kabu, right?
Yep.
And then B is the fighting gym, which is exclusive to sword.
Yep.
And
so
I think
instead,
you have the ghost.
Alistair. So he is the youngest gym leader ever. And he is extremely shy and reserved and doesn't like to show his face in public.
Ooh-woo.
Yeah, so he got a shy guy mask.
He has the shy guy mask. And
I love the name Alistair.
And then Opal is the fairy gym leader, which you
and
also
she's in
have.
Both. Yep.
Okay. And then we have Gordy, which is a rock gym.
Oh, so you guys don't have an ice gym. Interesting. Right. I have not seen what Gordy looks like.
All I remember... is the dragon tamer.
Yeah.
He was a babe.
Yes.
Ryan. I actually took note of this, and I this is the first time ever that I was ahead of myself in a good way. During the intro to the game, I saw the name Ryan, and I wrote it down because I was like, I feel like that's going to come up. That's who Leon is fighting in the intro.
Yes.
Oh.
My gym, I don't have a rock. I have an ice, and her name is Melanie.
Mm.
And I think somebody at Game Freak played Overwatch because...
Does she look exactly like what I think
she
looks like?
She doesn't look like May, but they give her a parka and stuff. They,
I have a visual
is
in
it
my
May?
Head.
Is that the...
Yeah, Overwatch? May is the...
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the parka. First thing I thought of when they showed Melanie. I was like, oh, somebody at Game Freak played Overwatch. They make note that only 7 gym leaders show up. This is the first time in the series ever that there will be a dark gym. People have been asking for this for years, that when are we going to get a dark type gym leader? There have been dark type Elite Four members. Grimsley is the dark type gym leader in Gen 5, and he also is a surfing master in Alola. He shows up in Alola to hang 10, I guess. I don't know.
Hang 10.
Game Freak finally gives us the dark gym, and they introduce all the gym leaders, and the dark gym leader isn't there.
We're being kept like in the that. Dark about this gym leader.
Very curious.
It's very dark type of them to not show up.
Yes. I guess that totally fits. Maybe this is why there's not dark gym leaders, because they don't work with the other people.
They probably have capes.
Boy, I think all the gym leaders, like, even before I even met any of them, I mean, we've met Myla.
They looked cool.
But they have so much character compared to kind of last ones. I guess, you know, Sun and Moon's kind of a cop-out because there's not real gyms, but there are trial captains.
Yeah. Something that I know that people were like, oh, these trials are weird and the kahunas and stuff. Going back to gym leaders, I was like, I kind of appreciated that difference that we had in Sun and Moon, but it was also just like, okay, this is what we know. This is what we like, what we're used to. So that was nice. But when all seven gym leaders were just in a line, I was like, oh, like they're all together. Like, I don't know.
It felt like the ending of Black and White where they all show up at the end and you're like, oh yeah, this is it.
Hey, spoilers.
I don't know if I finished that. I don't think I ever finished the game.
Yeah, they all show up at the end to fight off Getsis.
Oh, the power of...
One?
Yes.
Eight. The power of eight. And that leads us, I guess, because we're talking about gym leaders, again, we're going to end with the wild area here because there's a lot to talk about.
Before you get to the wild area, we skipped over one thing that wasn't story related, the wishing stars and what you get from it. After you battle Hop at Magnolia's house, in her garden, I guess.
Big purple house.
Yeah, her big purple house. And you get endorsed by Leon, then there's, coincidentally, a shooting star that lands right in front of you.
That was a little corny.
Coincidentally, there's two of them.
Look,
for
maybe
you
it was
and Hop to share.
Maybe it was Tapu Koko that just wanted to spread the love or something.
Remember me like Mufasa.
So you get these wishing stars and you don't know what they do, and Magnolia comes over and says, I can turn these into something for you. I don't remember all the specifics. She takes them. It's the same cuckoo-y thing where she leaves. Or was it the old guy? I don't remember. In Alola.
Hal's grandfather?
Yeah. Goes and makes you a bracelet and brings it back. This is not a Z bracelet. This is a Dynamax bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives you the ability to Dynamax Pokemon. And it also acts as your social cufflink that connects you to the rest of the world. So it gives you all the social features in the game. It gives you the ability to see what your friends are doing. And I really like this idea, but I'm getting to a point where I want to turn the notifications off.
Oh, I love it.
Because
it just keeps happening.
I don't think you had it on properly. Because you weren't getting any notifications when I was watching you.
Well, I also didn't accept all the requests I had, so I only have like seven friends.
The Y system shows you if your friends are looking for a raid, completed a raid, caught a Pokemon, evolved a Pokemon, hatched a Pokemon, surprise traded a Pokemon. And if you have a lot of friends online, which you probably do, because Sword and Shield just came out. There's a lot of all of that happening at all times.
Yes, correct. I don't know how to change that note. I couldn't find anything in the menu for how to change notifications. Yeah.
I couldn't find
You can also just connect online like you could with all the previous, you know, social systems in Pokemon games where it just connects you to various people on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see all those notifications if you want.
Makes it feel like you're playing with other people.
Yeah, it does. It's still really cool. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is a really cool way to integrate social features. But I just, when I got to a point where I was like grinding or I was, you know, doing whatever, anytime I would get out of a battle, then like five notifications for things that people had done would pop up. And I'm like, let me just There's too many things on my screen.
Yeah.
It's also the way that you trade and battle and do all that. It's all the social functions that you would have. I got a question when we talk about the wild area about how that those looking for raid notifications come into play.
I think I can answer those.
Okay.
Okay, before we finish off with wild area, let's just talk about the gym fight with Milo. There's a couple things that happen. There's a cave that you go through. There's a town with a bunch of Phantump and Yamper running around. We need to focus too much on that. The variety of Pokemon in every route. A lot of routes seem to have the new Pokemon easy to see, and they seem to have the old Pokemon hidden in the little exclamation mark stuff. That's not 100%, but that seems to be the pattern, at least so far. Milo greets you outside of the gym. He's like every issue in this game has been revolving around Wooloo causing trouble. They're little troublemakers.
Chasing that Wooloo.
But you have to get into your uniform with your numbers picked. Real quick, Irene and Aya's are very easy. I picked 118 because that was Irene's birthday. And so
I picked 729, which is Steve's birthday.
She copied me.
Which is also Brion's Pokedex number.
Oh, I was going to ask you.
Yeah. So I was like, we talked about it earlier. And I wrote that down. I was like, I bet you we'll talk about it. But yeah.
Well, unfortunately, you have one of the worst Pokemon as your birthday, which is Goldeen. So enjoy.
Well.
Wow.
Sorry, I'll just be reborn.
Rude.
Would you go with Micah? 420, 666,
I wrote 069.
Get all the good ones out of the way.
I wrote in my notes that this was the hardest decision that I've had to make so far. I sat at the screen for probably a good 10 minutes trying to think of like a good number to have. Before I almost put in 6-9.
I was going to say 6-1-6.
I don't think I could play the game and just exist with myself if I did that for the entirety of this game. And so I settled on 7, which is Sobble's Pokedex number.
Oh, okay. Not 007?
Not 007.
Not 07?
Isn't that like...
And a good one. For other reasons.
Yeah, 007 would have been real good for other reasons.
Ooh.
But
could you change your number? Because I really...
You can't. I actually had to...
This is upsetting.
I actually had to I accidentally typed in 11. I deleted the 8 and I hit save. So I had to reload my save because it doesn't delete it.
Gross.
So Irene looked at me and said 007. Maybe Sobble goes in a specific direction at the end of this.
I think maybe though I wouldn't have been like I James Bond is cool, but I don't know if I'm super interested in having a James Bond reference on my jersey for the entirety of the game. 7 is like pretty easy because it's lucky 7, and also it's just Sobble because let's be honest, Sobble is the best of that whole tree. So.
So you have to change into your uniform to do the gym battle, and there's the gym challenge. So we've seen this before. Every gym has a puzzle. I mean, in, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, /Crystal/Gold/Silver, Bryce, you got to slide on the ice, figure out how to get there near the end. So, Lieutenant Surge, the obvious puzzle of looking in trash cans for no reason. So in this case, that was a joke because his puzzle is kind of probably the worst.
It's really not a good one.
In this case, you have to herd Wooloo multiple times to open the gate. And
I heard that.
And there are little yampers.
Fire tonight.
And little yampers will stop the Wooloo, of course. I didn't realize until afterwards, but if you battle the trainer, they call the yamper over.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, and it makes it easier to do it.
He told me that.
I always push the Yamper into the thing to open the next area, and then I would go back and battle the trainers.
I 100% did that too. I still hate that they fall on this mechanic of like, oh, it's a punishment to battle the person blocking the gym. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? They're giving me money and experience. Why would I skip
to do? Them? I just want to battle the gym leader. Like, I got stuff to do. Like, get out of my way. Why do I got to talk to you?
Like, that
Wait,
was
it's
like
a punishment to battle the gym leader. Or
well,
to
they
not
act
the
like
an obstacle.
They act like it's a punishment, right? Like, oh, it makes it easier if you battle. If you take the time to battle them, they call the Yamper.
I wouldn't say that's a punishment. I would say that's a reward.
No, it's like the Blaine thing, where Blaine's puzzle in Red and Blue was. you take, you have all the quizzes, and the quiz is super fun. Yeah. But if you get the quiz wrong, oh, now you have to battle. But almost everyone was like, oh, I got the quiz right, but also this person's right here, and I want the money, and I want the experience, so I'm going to battle them.
Oh, sure. Well, in this case, though, like, if you battle them, then it improves the challenge.
That's right? True.
Because if you battle them, then they call the amper over. I just assumed that they had nothing to do with... They were just there, so
they
I would...
They were just there. Yeah,
get
I don't...
the Wooloo through first and then battle them.
I don't know if they... I don't know if they did a good job at explaining that.
I don't think they did either. But it was a cool challenge. It's...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was different. Cute. It was different. It was cute.
I had a mini moment of panic because I wanted to go heal. And oh, Steve yeah. was like... And Steve was like, oh, no, you can't leave. Like... That's the point. Like, that's why you sign up or whatever. And I was like, oh, no, because my score bunny was poisoned. But luckily, I had Petcha berries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. So I was able to get myself all ready for Midoriya.
And we
actually remember his name. What's his
Milo.
Name?
Milo.
Yeah, Milo.
We've been saying this for years on the podcast of, hey, you want to make gyms to be harder? Don't let the trainer just walk out the door. Because... Most people would battle all the three or four people and
turn
then
around, heal,
turn around,
and then
walk out,
yep.
heal, and then come back in. And it's like, well, yeah. that doesn't, there's no challenge there. although you can bring in healing items, but look, it's not a
I
perfect
love this
system.
A lot more. It's like the Elite Four mechanic. You go in with what you got.
Yeah, and you they lock your back. Boxes, so you can't, you go in and it locks your box, and this is the six you're using. So I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't think, you could argue it makes it harder. I don't think anyone's saying it's easier. It makes it harder by locking and preventing you from leaving and healing. But I don't think overall it makes the game much harder. It just maybe is another mechanic you're going to think about, and that's always good.
Sure.
To have forced the game to make at least make you feel like you're making an important decision. The Milo fight is great. Let me tell you, I think X and Y has the best music in the franchise. This game beats it.
By far.
I'm like 10 hours in. This music is incredible. I could listen to the gym leader music over and over again. If you think Dynamax is a bad gimmick to compare to Mega Evolution and Z moves, you're out of your mind. Dynamax is so cool. It feels good doing it. It feels strategic. It just feels so great. And like I just never felt compelled to use Mega Evolution or to use Z moves during the story ever, because it was just like, why? I'm gonna one shot it anyways. But when and they're not gonna they don't. They're not going to Mega Evolution back. Well, I mean, I guess technically in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. But I don't know. I just feel maybe in the whole competitive sense, maybe when, by the way, you can sign up for the new online tournament that's going to happen in December in the game. Maybe in a competitive sense, Mega and Z moves are more strategic, but at least for story progression, having the gym leaders Dynamax, you deciding whether you want to Dynamax early or late or at the same time, I think it makes the fight feel so much more fun and dynamic.
I agree. I think it is a very strategic thing of trying to determine. I think it's not that hard, like at least early game in this game, to say like, oh, this is the Pokemon they're gonna Dynamax, so I should probably Dynamax for this specific, like for Milo it's he has Gossifleur and Eldegoss, and he Dynamaxes the Eldegoss, and I think when you see that he's only got two Pokemon and one of them is an evolution of the other, that's probably gonna be the one that gets Dynamax, right?
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit, but I can see this for competitive being much more strategic, trying to determine when your opponent is going to Dynamax and when you should Dynamax, because there's no indication other than when you trigger it the same way that they did with, you know, Z moves and Mega Evolutions. So it still has that level of strategy, and you've only got three turns to use it. So do what you got to do in that three turns and get out.
I think the Milo fight is great. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's the first gym leader. Unlike other gyms, I feel like it takes an X and Y. I felt like I got to oh man, her name is at the tip of my tongue. Viola in like 14 minutes.
Viola?
Viola. Yeah, that's her
Viola.
Name. I felt like I got to started X and Y, got to her in like 15 minutes, beat her, and then I was on my way to the second gym. And it took me 8 hours to get to Milo, and it was because the wild area was so distracting, which we're about to talk about, and it was because the routes were just so, there was just so much to do on the routes, and the cities were engaging. And I don't think I was poking around. I definitely wanted to catch as many Pokemon as I could, but
in this game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's that gap is huge. And there I think I said in maybe in your stream that I said to Irene too, I feel like she texted me and said, "How is this game? How have people beaten this in 20 hours or whatever it was?" Which was like the rumored, you know, people were saying that they beat it in 20 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I feel like I screwed around, not like a ton, but I didn't like hustle. I tried to catch pretty much every Pokemon in an area and kind of took my time, but it took me 6 hours to get my first gym badge, which is a lot. That's a lot. I feel like that's more than a quarter of what the like estimated completion time is.
It's pretty unreal, in a good way. Like Viola, I think was around 11. I think one of her Pokemon was 11, and her other one was 12. And I think like Faulkner in Gold and Silver, I think his Pokemon were 7 and 9, or was it 9 and 11? And Milo is 17 and 20. I'm pretty sure. Agassiflora is 17, and Eldegoss is 20. Which is the highest a first gym leader has ever had. Anyways, I think that pacing was good and fun, and the wild area.
Leagues better than the pacing in Sun and Moon.
Yes.
I feel like it was almost about the same amount of time to feel like I was doing something in that game that it took me to get like my first gym badge in Sword. And I didn't feel like I was going through a slog. I felt like there was a lot to do the entire time. It didn't feel like as much of a pain as the first section of Sun and Moon did.
All right, wild area. We don't need to go into in depth because they introduced the wild area to you in specific parts. So we're going to come back to the wild area again. I believe after a couple more gyms, you go back into the wild area. So just initial impressions. We don't have to get too carried away. I know Irene had Irene met a very powerful Pokemon right off the bat.
Oh, I walked into a level 46 Diggersby.
Oh.
And I was like, what is this? I was like, I don't know what's going on because, I think I walked into, I'm not sure what it was, but it was like level like 14 or something. And I was probably like level 9 or something, and I was just like, and I ran away. When I walked into the Diggersby, I was just like, be around like the teens or something. And when it was level 46, I was like, what? And I think I ran away. I tried to run away and it wouldn't let me run away. It knocked out one of my Pokemon, and then I could run away. And I was just like, oh, okay.
They wanted to have a feel of Pokemon that are intimidating for trainers and, you know, powerful Pokemon, which we talked about last episode that no game really kind of offered before because it just didn't really exist. And the variety of Pokemon there is outstanding. I was like, I could easily be in here for 10 hours and not even get to the first gym because I just want to catch all these Pokemon.
Pro tip, when you get to that train station at the wild area, if you talk to the two people inside, you can get a Pikachu or an Eevee if you have a Let's Go Pikachu or a Let's Go Eevee save data on your Switch.
I got my Pikachu.
So do that. They're the Gigantamax versions, which I don't know how that factors in, but whatever. I'm sure I'll figure it out at some point. The camera movement was great. It felt really nice. The first thing I did was try to figure out how to zoom out my camera. Because I felt like it was really, really close. And if you press in the right stick, you can. And it feels a lot more open and better, I think. I walked into an Onyx that was level 26, and it one-shotted me, and I was like, oh yeah, that I forgot that I'm not supposed to do that. So I ran, and then just walked around and checked things out. It was cool. There's the little dens around. Some of them have lasers shooting out of them, and those are the Dynamax dens, and some of them don't have anything. They're just glowing red, and you can click on them and get W, which is a currency.
Watts. The same thing they gave in HeartGold SoulSilver with your Pokewalker.
And you can spend those watts at, there's NPCs dotted around the map that will sell you things for watts. I saw a guy that was selling Dusk Balls. They were selling TRs. I don't know if you want to get into TRs.
Nah, we'll talk about TRs next time.
Okay. And each section is separated into kind of like areas, like themed areas, type-based areas, I guess. I spent a lot of time walking around trying to catch things before I also, like you said, realized that I could be here forever. And I should probably just come back later and do some of this. I ran into a Roselia and I was like, oh, this seems pretty easy. I'll get some XP off this. It was one level higher than my Sobble was at the time, and it one-shotted me.
I almost lost my entire team. I mean, my team sat around when I went to the wild area. I think my highest was 16 and my lowest was maybe 12. And I ran into a level 14 Oddish, and I was like, well, got to catch an Oddish. Needed the whole Pokedex. And that Oddish almost one-shot every single one of my Pokemon.
It's really rough.
This is a thing we're going to talk about in the future, but they somehow or for some reason changed, I feel like, the catch rate of a lot of Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. I heard you talking about that. I'm curious your thoughts on it.
And yeah, I just, I guess I have to do more research or wait for, you know, Serebii or Bulbapedia or somebody to also like confirm this. But it just seems that, you know, a level 14 Oddish shouldn't take 10 Pokeballs when it's in the red to catch at all, because
it's interesting because I really didn't have that much trouble catching things until I got to a certain point, and then it felt like the difficulty significantly spiked. Like, even in the wild area, I didn't really have that much trouble catching things. I feel like I would whittle things down to red and then throw a Pokeball, and maybe it would take two. But later in the game, it was taking me a good chunk of my inventory.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. They introduced the trees here where you can shake berries, and then if you shake too much, it's like a gamble. Get some berries, they fall on the ground, they keep going, the tree shakes harder, and if you keep shaking and overshake, then a Scuvant attacks you.
Yeah,
Scuvant.
Yeah.
Scuvant, that's it.
I think there's
Scuvant.
There's the obvious issue where everything looks worse in the wild area. Trees look worse. The sky looks worse. The water doesn't.
I definitely noticed the trees.
The trees were.
Everything. So I'm curious. It almost seems like a different team worked on the wild area than the rest of the game. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm curious if, because, you know, they have to load in stuff, that by dropping the textures on stuff, that was their compromise to get everything to work.
I'm almost certain that that's the case.
I suspect, if anything, I think of these games of, like, in Diamond and Pearl, they're awful games. Like, mechanically, Diamond and Pearl are terrible. Everything is super slow and sluggish. When you try to, you know, knock out a Pokemon in the game, the HP bar takes about 2 hours to scroll down. Platinum fixed all of that, and it's not a perfect game. So I'm always, when I was walking through the wild area, I thought, is this the thing, if they were to ever make a third version or, you know, an ultra version, is this the thing that gets, you know, the dramatic updates and improvements? Not that it's like bad, but it's just noticeable.
It took me a good chunk of time in the wild area to notice, and once I noticed the trees, I was like, oh no. But I'm almost certain that it's to reduce any kind of slowdown to be able to have that much accessible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it for just any game. I'm saying specifically on the Switch, because we are aware that the hardware is not incredible on the system. But I think that I would rather have lower texture trees that I don't even really have to look at than have horrendous frame rates like some of the battles that we had.
I still had
Sun and Moon.
I had no frame rate problems throughout the whole game, but I was getting chugginess in the wild area when people were running by me and stuff.
Oh, interesting. Wait, people are...
Yeah, because once you connect to online in the wild area, you'll have a bunch of people running around.
Oh, I didn't see any people. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I wonder if connecting to the internet contributed to that.
Oh, I would assume 100%, because when I was first in the wild area, it was completely fine, just ugly. And then as soon as I connected online, because I was trying to do the raid stuff, which we'll talk about more in depth in the future, because I just want to do a couple more raids before we really actually talk about that feature.
Sure.
As soon as I connected, four people appeared on top of me because they're all standing on the raid, and then I go to run away, and I run into more people, and it's just like chug, 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 and then people are coming in and out, and eventually it like stabilized. I think it's just because we were all in a corner where... a raid was, you know, off to the side. Again, I could easily see somebody's first Pokemon game and saying, like, wow, this is real garbage. It's not super great. I think it's cool that Pokemon has gotten to that point. I don't think it's particularly awesome. But at the same time, I remember when X and Y came out, we were just like, oh, cool, these Pokemon are finally in 3D. Also, oh, look at a horde battle. Oh, now I'm running at 3 frames per second because they put 6 Pokemon on the screen. It seemed like a limitation of the 3DS. I don't know if this is a limitation of the Switch. You look at games like Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey, and they're totally different games, but they look pretty great.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I think it's passable. I don't think it ruins the experience. I think, if anything, I want to go back and spend more time in the wild area just because that core experience was fun, even though it looks ugly. But even when I say it looks ugly, it looks better than what I've been looking at for 8 years on the 3DS.
This is true. This was one thing that for sure when I saw people griping about the tree textures, that was the whole thing. The trees, everybody was yelling about the trees. That was one thing that I thought for sure, like, that is going to be fixed by launch. Like, it's probably just a low quality texture for the sake of getting a trailer made or whatever. Yeah. But... unfortunately,
well,
that is not the case.
Hey, they didn't lie, I guess, about the trees. The trees outside the wild area look pretty good.
Oh, yeah. The rest of the game outside of the wild area looks incredible. It's just the wild area that feels rough.
We only touched on the wild area. So we will talk more. I'm sure people want to hear about raid stuff. I've only done like 3 of them. I kind of want to do just a couple more so I can feel
confident.
What'd
you catch?
I got a Togepi, and cool. I got, the G-Max Butterfree.
Ooh.
Which I was dead that entire fight, Butterfree so boy. Thank you to everyone that carried me.
Irene, did you do any raids?
I got a Joltik.
Oh, ooh, very cool.
Yeah, and I was just like... I'm pretty sure I said I don't want to connect to like anybody, and then it was like people have joined you, and I was like,
"Here's
whoa,
three people."
Okay.
Did one of them have a Magikarp?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But,
one of mine had a Wobbuffet.
I think someone I had one too.
If anything, the NPCs are hilariously funny with the Pokemon choices they use.
I got a Mudbray. That was
nice. A Mudbray. Yes.
And I saw it and felt like, I saw the silhouette, because they show you the silhouette,
mm-hmm.
so you can't see what Pokemon it is. I don't know if that changes if you've caught it before.
No, it's still a silhouette.
Oh, okay. So I was like, oh, it's a Mudbray. I feel like I can do that. And I did, but I was still real nervous after that Onix. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this yet.
Yeah, I also did Bidoof as well.
Oh, nice.
That alone just shows how much variety is in that area. Just from the 5 raids we just mentioned.
Yeah, and it was fun, and I was in, obviously, you know, I've been streaming, I streamed the whole game on Twitch. I have been streaming the entire game on Twitch. I probably should disclose that Nintendo paid for my copies.
Hashtag ad.
Hashtag free game, I think, is the one Nintendo wants you to use.
Okay, got it.
But it was so cool because people in chat, even though I kept progressing through the story, and I had about like 300 people hanging out, but people just being like, hey, I found I found the Butterfree raid, and people were like, oh, can I please join you on that? I want the Butterfree. And then somebody else being like, oh, I found this specific Pokemon. I don't want to spoil any Pokemon for people. And people were like, oh my gosh, I want that Pokemon. Can I join you? And people exchanging friend codes. It was so cool to see. And it was like nonstop for hours, people just being excited to do these raids and having fun with them.
Yeah. So I saw glimpses of that when I popped in, and it seemed really neat. People were like, And you were like, they were like, I found the Butterfree. You were like, I want that Butterfree.
I wanted that Butterfree so bad. And then
I heard you say
me.
That it is the current event. Is that what
yes.
you said?
So
I don't know anything about this.
Okay, so this is the official Pokemon thing. We covered this on the podcast earlier this week. But they said that they are going to rotate out max raid battles in Sword and Shield. And so G-Max Butterfree, Gigantamax Butterfree, or Dynamax, Gigantamax is above Dynamax, will appear
yeah, Gigantamax is like the form change.
Right. Gigantamax Butterfree will appear more frequently between now and January 15th, I think.
Oh, okay. So
and then they're going to, while you can still find it after January 15th, it just won't be as common as it is now, and you will be able, they'll feature a new Pokemon.
From now until January 15th, Gigantamax Butterfree will be appearing more frequently in raid battles.
Hey, that's what I just said. It's like
almost like it's pulled directly from Pokemon Go's press releases.
Oh yeah, and if you're lucky, trainers.
And if you're lucky,
well, if you're lucky, trainers, we will wrap up this episode. So.
I suspect
that episode 3 will probably be Gym 2 and Gym 3 together, because I believe they're pretty close. I don't want to spoil anything, but it seems they are kind of next to each other. So that's where we'll leave it. Hopefully you have been enjoying Sword and Shield. It's officially been out everywhere now for 24 hours by the time this podcast goes up. Not, you know, in Australia early and everyone crying that they're not in Australia. So hopefully you've been enjoying it. If you liked the podcast and stuff, if you've been liking the series, let us know either on Slack or Discord or on Twitter and stuff. Love to hear your feedback. Maybe these episodes are way too long, but there's a lot to say about this game, and just wanted to kind of get it out there for you guys. We will be back tomorrow to talk about some other stuff. If we missed anything, there are more episodes. We've still got a lot to talk about. But that's it. Reminder, giveaway mentioned at the beginning, it'll be in the show notes. But that is our episode, I think.
We did it.
Good
night,
Galler. It was bye, I think.
Yeah, it was bye. But night works.
Yeah, night. Good night applies.
Yeah, sorry. Actually,
I guess
no,
it depends
on
when you're listening
it's
to
go
it.
Up in the morning. Oh well, I mean, there we go.